That same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us what they had seen, a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
There are some walks in life which are longer than others, not because of the miles or even the terrain, but because of the burdens that weigh us down. On this third Sunday of Easter, we find ourselves traveling with two disciples on a road that for many of us is all too familiar. As the two disciples were taking the 7 mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they felt like the weight of the world was on their shoulders. They walked with their heads hanging low, barely spoke above a whisper to each other. Each step they took required more effort to lift each foot because their hearts were so heavy. Can you see them? With each step, they remembered what happened that caused their world to come crashing down. They had hope. Jesus was the one. They remembered just 7 days earlier, Jesus was flanked with well-wishers waving palms and shouting, "Hosanna," which they understood to mean, "Praise God and his Messiah, we are saved." Jesus claimed to be the one through which Israel and the whole world would be healed and transformed, rescued and saved. They remembered. And some believed his claim that he was the one in their holy scriptures whom Jesus had promised to send. And they know that God was faithful to God's promises, remembering all that God had already done. All Israelites remembered their history, their defining moment, their Exodus story, when God saved God's people, leading them out of Egypt, away from the death grips of Pharaoh and his powerful army, safely escorting them across the dry bed of the Red Sea and stayed with them in the wilderness until they reached the promised land they remembered. And now, the promise of a Messiah, the one who would restore Israel to greatness, the one who would come to defeat their oppressors, the Roman Empire, the one who would usher in a new Exodus. They had hoped. He He was the one. In our gospel lesson this morning, we can certainly understand what these two disciples are experiencing. As they inched closer to Emmaus, they felt as if the wind had been taken out of their sails. Jesus, the one they had held out their hopes for to rescue them, had just been executed in the worst way. Now their hopes and dreams for a better life had vanished. The miracle worker was gone. The one who had brought hope to the hopeless, gone. The one who raised Lazarus from the dead was dead. They are traveling down a road filled with disappointment, pain, and discouragement. Most of us, at one time or another, have been down this road because we had hoped. We had hoped the relationship or the marriage would last. We had hoped for a different diagnosis. We had hoped to keep our jobs, keep our homes. We had hoped that that bully would leave us alone. We had hoped the insurance would cover the cost of the medicine or the procedure. We had hoped the addiction intervention would have worked. We had hoped they would not have died so soon. We had hoped. Like these two disciples, we too have traveled down a road filled with disappointment, pain, and discouragement. These two disciples are commiserating with each other as they replay the events of the past 72 hours. So we may be wondering, why are they going to a village called Emmaus? Well, Luke, the gospel writer, doesn't tell us much about Emmaus or why these two disciples are going there. But this is what we know. They had been to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration when the unthinkable happened. I would imagine Jerusalem was now a place of pain, and they were feeling quite defeated and wanted to find refuge by putting some distance between them and Jerusalem. They probably wanted to do whatever they could to block out and to escape the pain that they were experiencing. We could ask ourselves the question, where or what do we do to forget what has happened to us when we are hurting, feeling helpless and hopeless and just need to get away? Where or what is our Emmaus? As these two disciples traveled to Emmaus, hoping that a change of scenery could take away the pain of the incredible loss they felt, Jesus himself walks alongside them and joins them on their journey, and they don't recognize him. Now today, casually walking alongside someone seems strange and risky to us, but during Jesus' time, it was a gesture of hospitality to welcome other sojourners on the road so that no one has to walk alone. So this helps to explain why the two disciples were not alarmed. So as we observe what is happening, we can see that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Jesus is incognito. They see a stranger. They do not know that it's Jesus, the risen Christ, who is right there with them in their time of need. They can't see that Jesus has met them in their moment of despair. Like then, it is Jesus, the risen Christ, who meets us on our road to Emmaus and shows up in our time of sorrow and despair. And isn't this good news, my friends? When Jesus asked these two disciples, what things are they talking about? Their reaction is priceless. Can you see their faces? We can imagine that they must have looked at Jesus as if he had been living under a rock because everyone knew Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet, the miracle worker, had been crucified in the most horrific way. Today, we know his execution would be breaking news, streaming on every conceivable communication platform, every hour, on the hour, for hours. In this ironic moment, Jesus, the risen Christ, is the only one who knows the meaning of these earth-shattering events that are now trending all over the Jerusalem metropolitan area. Jesus of Nazareth, nailed to a cross, gone forever. We can't believe it. We had hoped. It is in this ironic moment that Carolyn Lewis, a New Testament professor and scholar, suggests, and I agree, that Jesus, the risen Christ, interrupts the disciples' deep discussion to get them to articulate what they experienced by asking the question, "What things?" This gives them an opportunity to describe the things, to name their hurt, which they do. Just like the two disciples, we also have to name our hurt, our sorrow, our pain, our disappointment, our hopelessness, our helplessness, our fear. And this is good news, because we can see in this text that Jesus not only shows up on time, but that he shows up and gives them an opportunity to speak their truth, to speak about their pain. Jesus shows up and gives them an opportunity to be vulnerable without judging. Jesus shows up and walks with them and talks with them and helps them to see beyond what just happened, which helps them to move from "we had hoped" to "hopeful." You see, as they continue to walk with the risen Christ, he helps them to see who he really is. Jesus outlines for them the meaning of the scriptures, which they knew, but they still hadn't put two and two together. But Jesus did not leave them in this state of not knowing. So as they walk, Jesus talks. He interprets the scriptures. He helps them to understand that he is the one that is spoken of in the scriptures. He breaks it down so they could understand the meaning and significance of his death. He wants them to recognize that he is the fulfillment of the scriptures, and in the scriptures, it was necessary for him to suffer, die, and after 3 days, he defeated death, overcame the power of sin and evil, and that he was resurrected from the dead with a new glorified body. And the empty tomb confirms his victory, and that he, the Messiah, is among us. This was all in God's plan for the redemption and transformation of the world. The plan was shared in the scripture so that all would know, those with ears to hear, spiritual eyes to see, that Jesus fulfills the prophecy of the scriptures. As they are hanging on to Jesus' every word, not wanting him to stop, they are still unaware of who is walking and talking with them. They just know they didn't want it to end. As the disciples approach their destination, Luke lets us know it was getting dark, and it looks like Jesus is going to continue to walk ahead. So the disciples invite Jesus to stay with them for food and fellowship, and he accepts their invitation. The disciples offer to be the hosts to a traveling companion, a new friend. But what happens next is certainly unexpected. You see, the guests became the hosts when Jesus changed the social roles by taking the bread, blessing it, breaking it, and sharing it. And when he breaks the bread, the disciples have an epiphany. The light bulb comes on. Everything comes together for them. Now they are able to make sense out of what has transpired. This ordinary meal is now infused with significance. It's familiar. When Jesus does this, everything changes. They finally put two and two together. It is Jesus. He is risen. We have hope. They recognize him in the breaking of the bread. Mary Magdalene had the same experience with the risen Savior. It wasn't until Jesus called her name that she knew it was him. You know, there was a certain way that Jesus said her name that was unmistakable. And when she heard it, she knew it was Jesus. The disciples didn't recognize that Jesus is alive until he did something familiar when he breaks the bread. It was when the bread was broken that the two disciples on the road Bible study with Jesus made sense. It was when the bread was broken that they knew the bread of life was alive and with them. The good news of this scripture passage shows us that Jesus meets us on our road to Emmaus. He is there in our time of need and helps us to go from "but we had hoped" to "the Lord is risen indeed." Jesus takes our hopeless situations and turns everything around, and like the disciples said in our text today, didn't our hearts burn? Each time we come into the presence of the risen Savior, our hearts should burn. And like the disciples, once they encountered Jesus, what did they do? They turned around and headed back to Jerusalem to let others know the good news that Jesus is alive. They turned around and headed back to Jerusalem to help others to go from, "but we had hope," to "there's hope because he is risen indeed." N.T. Wright, biblical scholar, helps us to understand this when he said, "Jesus came to show us the one true God had now taken charge of the world in and through Jesus and his death and resurrection. The one true God through Christ is continuously present with us and active in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit." As Jesus' disciples, we need to share this good news. We need to help folks dealing with, "but we had hope," to "we have hope in Christ. We have peace in Christ. We have salvation in Christ." Each of us as disciples of Jesus Christ can let someone know, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever foes may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him," what's next, y'all? You know the song. "He's always near. He what? He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how? I know he lives in the for me. He lives where? In my heart." Amen. Will you please join?